start.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting on April 8th, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody? He's absent. Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, I have a lot of news tonight. So the first thing I'd like to announce to everyone is that, unfortunately, we were turned down for the funding of the water main replacement. Evidently, the program no longer has adequate funds. So in a little while, Carmela is going to address the council and is open to questions and concerns, so she can fill us in on anything you're not clear about. But we were turned down, and it also does not look promising for 2020 either. All right, but we are pleased to announce, or I am pleased to announce, that we received $240,000 for improvements to Farm Lane. And this is in response to an application we submitted for the 2019 Municipal Aid Program. So we did receive almost a $250,000 for Farm Lane.
Some of it is going to need to fix the axles on my car.
But you live on Farm Lane, so
right?
Absolutely.
And my section is the worst one of all.
That's okay. We'll put in for that, Lou.
That's the 2019 Municipal
right.
Aid Program
right.
that we applied for.
Right. So now is the time we should prioritize various projects that need our attention. I'm just listing these now as something that we need to think about sooner than later. But we should think about sewer line replacement on the streets that are being paved. We have a trickling filter that needs to be replaced at the sewer plant.
Two trickling filters. Yeah. One is not working and the other one is straining.
Is draining?
Straining.
Straining. I thought that's what you said. Okay, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The 2018 NERCO Road and Elm Court design that needs to be done by our engineers needs to go out to bond if we choose to do that. We received $350,000 for that project, and what we would do is bond $550,000, because that includes the $350,000 that we're being given, and we have $50,000 in our budget that's marked for that. So that would leave a $150,000 bond that we would need to go, you know, for the completion of the project.
And that bond's not on the water sewer budget; it's on the general budget.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And as I said, I guess I wrote this twice. You know, the 2019 Farm Lane repaving. We have to decide whether that's something we want to do, and that has to be done rather quickly to approve that and pay for the engineers to begin their work on that. I also wanted to say that the T-Mobile cellular tower bid opening is April 30th, 2019. So that was held up in the previous time that we went out to bid because apparently the point man on the project had taken ill, so they weren't able to. They had to put that on a delay. So now we will, it's out to bid again, and hopefully T-Mobile will come through this time since they seemed anxious to use our cell tower.
Yeah.
And finally, I wanted to say that five council people and myself attended the GIF seminar in Millstone a few weeks ago, and because of this, we saved the town $1,500 because we were given a credit of $250 each of each person who attended. So it was really interesting. It was basically a employment etiquette, you know, dealing with, you know, how to treat and respond to employees and what's permissible.
We also ate more cookies than anybody.
Was that Lou?
It's not our fault.
Yes, we did.
It's not our fault. They were good.
They were actually, they were delicious.
I'm free.
They were delicious. So so that was good, because we saved $1,500 for the barrel there. So
for a party, right? What? $1,500 for a party we're going to have?
I hope. So at this point, what I would like to do so that our engineers don't have to stay for the whole meeting is I would like to ask someone to move that we go out of order, and we'll start with, if we go out of order, we'll start with utility reports. I'm sorry, we'll start with committee reports, utility and public works. And then we can have Carmela, we can pummel her with questions or whatever we have.
Okay. I'll make the motion.
So moved.
I'll second.
Yes. So moved. Got those two.
But no pummeling.
No pummeling. Okay.
You're welcome.
So we're amending the agenda, moving committee reports up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So
all
I'm also going to go. Oh,
sorry.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, that.
Aye.
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 All in favor. Okay, that was kind of nice. All in favor.
One at a time in favor? Right, one at a time? Okay, so I'm also going to change the order. Well, okay, you know what? I'll start with Council Members Bowen, since it's public works, and then we can go to utilities, and then we'll take a break from committee reports and talk to Carmela.
Kind of.
All right, just one thing I just want to mention is we've got the Mueller parts for the
hydrants.
Fire hydrants.
Fire hydrants. Mm-hmm. So that will be, I think there's five or six hydrants that will be addressed with that. The other issue is this storm drain problem on North Valley. Problem's been going on since January. And apparently, you know, Joker should probably explain this, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
The storm drains are not on the road. They're on people's property, about 25
foot off the curb.
So there's every 125 feet, there's a drain. And there should be four drains, but there's only three. Okay, so one of them is covered up, and we had
John
from the
water
place go in with some sort of detector to determine that there is metal down there. So that one drain is covered up. We talked to some people.
You know where it is?
What?
You know where it is?
Yeah,
located?
Yeah, marked.
Oh,
it's marked.
That's a good thing.
Right where it should be.
Good
it's
thing.
Just not there.
And then there's another issue with another person that lives along that stretch. At one point, I believe it was a year ago, a little over a year ago, because of the drainage problems at his house, he had a hole dug and filled with gravel. Mm-hmm. And from where he indicated, it looks like it's near. He said it didn't hit any pipes, but it is near where the pipe is. So what's happening is that one of the drains is backing up, right? So it's just creating a pool. We had the county come out to do a jet vac of that whole line of six houses. And they were only able to, and they came in through the Solar Village end, right? And they came up, and Greg was there and met with the county guy. And he told us at that time it was like 125 feet that they went in and then hit an obstruction, right? So they couldn't clear it. So he recommended that we get it videoed. So Ken Lewis from Hightstown very promptly came out and videoed, but he came in through. He put his camera in
the high side,
on the high side where the water is pooling, right? So he went in that way, and he hit an obstruction, but he said that it looked like it was just debris, mud, and whatnot. So then the county was contacted again. You know, told that what was assessed by Ken, and they said, okay, well, we're going to come out again. I'm not sure exactly what they plan on doing other than try to jet vac it again, unless there's a something a step above that. I don't know. I tried calling Rich. He didn't get back to me. So that's sort of where we're at. And also, you know, we've been waiting, I think we're going 7 weeks now maybe, waiting for the county to come out with this second attempt to clear it. So in the meantime, that's when Joe and I have been poking around down there trying to figure out what's going on. And it looks like there may be a bigger issue than just some mud clogging in there. So, you know, I'm not sure if we're really on the right track with going with the county, waiting for them. Everybody's aggravated that's running their sump pumps around the clock. It's been over 3 months that this problem is not being solved. So, I guess, I'm not sure what to do. I mean, if it was up to me, I would say hire somebody who knows all about these pipes and come in and solve the problem. Instead of this, you know, what happens if the county comes again and they try their jet back and they say, well, it's still blocked, you know, get a video camera down, you know, so we're like going around in circles. I would much rather, I don't know how much we're saving by having the county do it versus having a contractor come in and North American Pipe is the outfit that's been recommended.
North American
Pipe, not a Freehold, Adelphia Freehold.
So if it was up to me, I would say just get them in here, find out what the problem is, and fix it. Because it looks like with these problems with the drain being covered up over here and another hole being dug over here, that there may be compound problems. And so I guess there's also issues about deeds and
setback. There's a setback.
It's
75. There's a 75-foot setback I found on one of the deeds, and I think it's probably good for all of them. Donna was nice enough to send me some deeds. 75-foot setback, and that appears to be where the houses start, 75 feet back from the road. The line of storm drain is 25 foot off the curb itself, four of them 125 feet apart, and there seems to be a problem in between where there is no storm drain, possibly just filled in with dirt, and the rocks that are in another section could have bitten through the pipe when they dug, and it's all backing up into the next one up the hill. So I want to go over this one.
Yeah, so
has that line ever been jet vac'd successfully, you know, in the last year or two?
I don't think so.
I
don't think it's ever been.
I heard that there was a repair there about 3 or 4 years ago that KTK came in and did something. We have a bill from KTK, but we don't have a real record of what they did, where they did it. They replaced some storm sewer pipe, but where? So it all coincides. One of the neighbors knows 3 or 4 years ago. George Vassier knows 3 or 4 years ago.
Are you certain it was back there? KTK also did other work around the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
we don't know.
We're not certain.
So there's no real record. That's why I called and left the message. Whether
not certain KTK did work back there?
We're not certain.
No, we don't know.
It
really don't know what
appears to be
KTK
the same time.
Ever.
I cannot put the dates to it, but I know some years ago, someone in the borough asked me to go look, and I saw just what you see, that the inlets are set off the road.
Yep.
Right? And it's a very unusual arrangement. I couldn't understand why that had happened.
Because it's Roosevelt.
Right.
Yeah.
But all the steps you took are the steps that should be taken. I think at this point, you really need someone like a North American Pipeline, because this is just a matter of big equipment and lots of water and just working out whatever's clogged it up. Yeah. I think the one inlet that's missing, you know, is a good indicator of it's just been filling in.
Yeah.
And whatever dirt gets in there just works its way
Back uphill. Back uphill. Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
So. Right. So I think Ken Lewis gave you very good advice there. And that's the best way to approach it. You need a bigger company with bigger equipment.
Yeah.
So should we cancel the, you know,
county?
Cancel the county and just tell them that we're going to get somebody else in here?
Do we have a...
It could probably be pretty expensive. Because I had to have that done to my sewer line.
That's not a sewer line, but this is a storm drain.
Right, but doing the same thing, come out to jet the line.
Yep.
And just for, you know, residential 4-inch pipe, it's $600.
Yeah. So we're figuring 600. Not a bad price, actually.
I don't know.
Yeah. Did they televise it? Or did they televise it?
Yeah, one company televised it, and then another company, they wanted to charge me like $13,000 to replace the line, but that was a whole other issue.
Okay.
But no, so the company that came out was $600 to jet the line. Again, that's a residential, just like sewer main versus, you know, storm sewer.
Okay. Now, this I was asking Greg before I jumped all over him before I could get to you, Carmela. And so this is on a setback, and it is on property deeds that there's a setback. So I don't know from planning whether the developer put that in, whether we put that in. It's connected to our storm drains on high side and the low side. But when somebody with big equipment comes in, they're going to have to tear up driveways to replace pipes there.
If they need replacing. Maybe they just need cleaning.
That would be nice.
And maybe that one drain just needs to be rebuilt. Right, so we don't really know.
Right, so a professional would be able to figure that out, right? They can get in there, and once they start, they can take it to the next step instead of having to call somebody else with a video camera or somebody else.
And we've also been waiting for the county for almost 2 months now to return.
It's too long. It's too long.
So are we in agreement that we should
call
North American?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that,
when
Steve?
When you say there's a setback, what do you mean? Is there an easement?
It's only clear. It's unclear. It's so far off the road. It's a solid 20-some feet off the road.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that we were having is whether... Yeah. It says 75-foot setback, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a right-of-way.
This is
not really clear what it
Donna sent me. Yeah. These are the houses in question. That line there is the setback. I'll send you a copy, and you can blow it up.
So, like, I don't know if, Carmel, long story short, the conversation we had before the meeting was, I don't know if that line pertains to some setback the developer. Apparently, all these houses were built at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that around the same time.
Around
so I don't know if that relates to something the developer just agreed to do. But that's their plat that they filed.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's just something they agreed to do as part of the zoning or planning resolution, as part of they just agreed to a bigger setback, and that was why it was noted on the plat. Or if that means that there's some additional right-of-way that was recorded on those properties because the storm drain was that far back.
Mm-hmm.
It's really unclear. You wouldn't know until it was titled. So what I said to the councilmen was that the first order of business is figuring out what's going on out there and which properties are affected. Then we can go to the deeds. Then we can figure out who's responsible for what. Then we can figure out who's paying. Then, you know, what needs to be done, the thing. But the first order of business was to determine what
problems.
And what properties are affected by it and, you know, try to determine who's – it's a peculiar place for a storm drain.
They were all built at the same time, around 84.
Yep. Right, so there's
I mean, I was going to say five, and then I doubted myself.
Built at the same time, the one house that looks different.
Yeah, they put, yeah.
The around the same.
Right.
The red one, yeah.
You know, I was going to say 85, and then I said, maybe it was four.
Yeah,
but now I remember, because...
And then once...
But in the 1980s, there was enough, there's people knew enough that there might be some document that discusses who addresses it.
Okay, well, this map that I've got's got, well, setback and easement?
The setback is a building setback. That
okay.
How close you can put the
okay.
The lot lines.
But an easement
the
is
easement
where...
easement would be for access to a pipe. Now, it could be that the developer put it in as a private line and didn't supply an easement.
And then the homeowners
so
would be responsible?
Would probably be best off to have the residents sign a paper saying that any damage that you did...
Your driveway.
Yeah, he's correct. If we go one step further than that, if there's no recorded easements, like so let's say no one's responsible for this, but it's clearly connected to our storm drain system, and so the boroughs, will, you know, in the absence of anyone else and connected to our system, the homeowners have a very solid argument, let's say that's the case, that we're responsible for it, in which case we would put permanent easements on the property. It would say temporary construction and permanent drainage access easement. And then we would be able to go on that property at any time and take care of it as a matter of right.
So how do we know, I mean, where do we get that information?
The first step is figuring out what block and lots are affected. So if you don't really know, I mean, you have some good preliminary.
I've got downloaded maybe 8 deeds through the years, but I would assume that it's the original developers.
It could be in a number of different places is the answer. It could be recorded in the deeds as an easement. It could be a separately recorded easement. It could be in the
county?
Planning board approval.
Joe.
Okay, we can get the file maps from the county?
The answer is I don't know. So it could be in multiple places. It could be on the deed as a written encumbrance straight on the deed. It could be on a separately recorded easement. It could be on the planning board approval resolution that the developer was responsible for and had to turn responsibility or form a homeowners association that they never did.
Okay.
The answer is we have no clue. So the first step is figuring out which properties have a problem and then researching everything about those properties, the title, what encumbers them, maybe even finding the planning and zoning board minutes from that time period. May not have even been here. May have been in Freehold at that time. So, you know, there's stuff out there where we can figure out who's responsible. And in the event we find out no one, we have no piece of paper that says anyone's responsible and it's connected to our system, homeowners have a pretty solid argument that it's our problem, and then we'll have to figure out how to paper that up to make sure that the next time this happens, all the people here aren't looking at each other and saying, whose problem is it? Then everyone will only just go to the deed and know. You know,
okay.
That's
I'd
the
like
idea.
To make a motion, maybe? Is this the way it works? That we should get U.S. Pipe to come in. And North American Pipe to come in and give us an estimated list of what they think and what it might cost.
Well, that's up to you guys.
Well, that's why I'm making it.
Right.
Well, should we get all this easement stuff out of the way before we bring them in?
Do you want us to determine the problem
for them to
first?
Come in and not dig up, but
yes.
to look
yeah.
and see what
yes,
do you think?
I think you're better off.
They'll give you.
Wait,
they'll give you an estimate
what the trouble
no charge.
Is. If you can get someone in to clean that pipe out, and then see if you're able to give some relief to those homeowners, find out what the trouble is. And oftentimes in situations like this, if you do need to go on that property, if everything points to it should be the borough's ownership, you ask for that easement in exchange for making the repair. And hopefully your attorney can help you do that without having to actually buy an easement. And compensate the homeowners additionally on top of the improvement.
Drainage problems, I usually get really good cooperation because people just want the water to go away.
Yeah, I would hope so.
But I will say this, though. I mean, you told me a lot of different facts that one of the homeowners may have filled the one in front of their house.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case and you find out that to be the problem, well, then it's, you know, it's the homeowner's insurance problem or
the
contractor's problem.
You're talking about the one with the rocks?
You guys threw a lot of different facts at me of what's the problem is up there.
So...
You know, if someone did something on, like, for example, if there is a recorded easement and it is our responsibility and someone hired a contractor to dig out their well and dump rocks in it so that no one else's works, well, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And so they're
but
responsible for fixing it.
You know, that wasn't his intention. I mean, he was just digging a hole and putting rocks in it. And
so he could have his own
according to him,
well.
It didn't hit any pipe or anything like that.
Okay,
so
well, let's
it may have done nothing.
Well, my point is we have no idea. So the facts could be we're responsible for everything. A homeowner did this. The pipe's not even ours. We just don't know. So the first order of business is determining what is actually wrong with the pipe. It costs us $800 to have someone jet it out, and we admonish the guy who threw rocks in it, maybe, if that's
right,
what the
right,
case
right.
is. Then that's a perfectly fine solution, and we have a working pipe. And we don't care.
So we should have these guys
come out
and try
figure out what
right.
the actual problem
give us
is.
Right.
an estimate. If they run into the same problem the county ran into, which they might, they need to give us an estimate of from there with all the facts.
Well,
that
then they can give us an exact location of where the block is. I mean, we don't even have
well
that.
Not
this
estimate.
Is 125 feet right here.
don't we want them to actually perform the work to determine what the problem is? Like, not give us an estimate, just come in and do it, right, to see if they can?
Well, I think you probably want to have an idea. This
well, I
won't be
I think so.
This is
I
not
get
a $600.
Yeah, right. It's not a $600 job. Yeah.
For them to come in and spend a day. 2 days trying to clear this blockage out. You know, it could run into $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 or more dollars.
That's what I was going to say. This is not
right.
going to be an inexpensive
but what's our
thing.
What's our alternative? If
Carmel, I want to be clear. There was a lot of facts about this.
Okay.
It may not
sure.
be a blockage. There may not be any pipe in between two of the houses.
Yes,
for all
that
we know.
Could be part of the problem. We don't know.
So it might be. I think it's way deeper than just roots in the stuff in a pipe.
But to have people that
do think they can
sort of
determine that? They'll be able to come out and figure out if the pipe is continuous.
Well, if they are able to televise and they do cleaning also, then, yeah.
Okay.
They'll start, see what they see.
Okay. All right, start with Advil.
Okay. So we'll
Advil
first.
Quote.
So we'll get a quote first and we'll
televise and.
Well, we want to meet them out there.
Well, just come in and do jet back or whatever they do in order to clear the pipe.
What
right?
the county started.
Whatever
with.
Problems they have.
I mean, honestly, they're the experts. So you guys call them out there,
the
tell them what the problem is, and they'll. I bet they have several methodologies to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, if they go in through both entrances. With the camera,
high
they
side and the low side.
They
the
can
high
tell
side,
how
can
far up it is, and then how far down it would be, so you can identify how big that obstruction
yeah,
would
exactly.
be.
125 feet or so.
Yeah,
where that's
they,
the problem.
These,
yeah.
these drains, yeah, they end up on the
and
on
an hour
on
and
the,
an hour drains.
On our drains
yeah.
on the road.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I had one put in my house too. They came over and they said we want to put a drain in because I'm in the lowest side of town.
Right.
The lowest house, actually, not in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And they said we're going to do it because your house, your front lawn is going to
be a
flood
pond.
Otherwise.
Be a pond, yeah.
And I said, I don't remember signing a damn thing because
did
I'm very pedantic about
it. Did you pay
that.
For it? Did, they
huh?
pay, did you pay?
You kidding me?
I'm curious. Okay, so it was the town. Right?
Okay. Do I look like I'm... I'm
so
much?
Okay.
Okay, can
so
we move on from
the
well
do we have to do a resolution to get these guys or just call
no,
them?
No, you have
them
to
them
do
out?
A quote first.
No, I
you
think you guys
call.
Just got
a yeah.
quote. Everyone supports you guys going
right.
to figure out
get
okay.
a quote.
Okay. What's wrong with properties are affected and getting the real experts in here.
Well, then we also have another draining problem.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Elm Court? Where Elm...
Not necessarily Elm. It's the far side. It would be the west,
yeah,
it's west
where
side
where Elm meets Tamara.
Yeah,
and if you
Colbert.
Take the Elm Road and run it straight across Tamara,
right.
that's the area that we're talking about.
Right.
There's like a culvert or something there
under
that's
the
supposed
road.
To
yeah.
help with drainage, and there's trees that fell in there. That's it's totally not functional.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we got alerted to this was what was his name?
Dave Teich.
He's got swampland creeping up into his backyard and
mm-hmm.
is now in the area where he has a large shed. It's destabilizing the whole ground around there.
Mm-hmm.
Joe and I went poking around and, you know, right where he has this shed, back in the right-hand corner of his yard, there's a like a storm drain.
But it's out of his yard.
It's like out of his
yeah.
yard. But it's a, you know, concrete.
It's not a storm drain. It's a culvert, kind of where they put pipage in through the woods there, and then they made a left to go to Brown
mm-hmm.
Drive. Okay,
Street.
Brown Lane Street.
Street.
So it's an interesting situation, and I was surprised of it because John, our water guy, was chasing down water mains, and he saw one going into the woods, and he's like, why? So it goes into the woods along with the sewer main, then it makes a left and it goes to Brown. But because we were back there, we saw this little culvert, which is not on Dave's property, it's just a little back. And apparently they put a road in, like a fire lane, to get trucks and bulldozers back there so they could put the pipes in. And this was a drainage source from one side of the swamp to the other side. But the way it's working is all the trees have fallen on these little runoffs, and nothing can run off to the creek, the Assunpink, and the empty box back there. So it's backing up, and it's doing pretty much the same thing as Lake Drive, where all the trees are going to disappear, and it's become one big swamp there. So I almost think we need to talk to the Assunpink people about this. This is kind of like the Beaver Dam problem
yeah.
that we had.
Yeah.
And because of, I don't know if it's the water table rising or another beaver dam or something.
Or both.
But the output of the sewer plant is like almost at the water level, so it's almost not being able to expel water, you know, the clean water back into the creek. It's starting to back up there too. So we need to get the beaver dam people involved. Or the Assumpink, I think I got the phone number from you, the DEP guy from there.
Yeah, we talked to the Assumpink.
Right. So we have to call them and walk them through and say, look, what's happening here? Is there anything that you guys could
Well, there's also berms that were created that's contributing to blocking water.
Stops the water from finding its lowest level. It's like a little pond area there, you know. So, but that's going to be them. I mean, we could go out there with a couple of shovels in the middle of the night and make our own trenches.
And it would help, actually.
It would, yeah. And back of Sean's house, it's the same on this side of Demerit Drive. So, you know. So we're peeling the onion back here is what we're doing.
It's like a can of worms, though.
Yeah.
You don't want worms in your onions.
Yeah, that's it.
Why are you
going to
do this in the middle of the night?
This is prairie.
Is this your modus operandi?
My modus operandi.
Style.
Bring a shovel in the middle of the night.
All right. So anything else from
Just kidding.
Steve?
I think I'll stop now. Okay. There's more, but
I'll
save it.
Can I do more?
Yeah, so can we go to Joe now for utilities?
We definitely need the trickling filters fixed.
Right. Fixed or replaced?
You can't replace them. You have to fix them. They're like as big as this room, you know. So
you have to
repair them.
Okay.
There's got to be a boom. So that's the $500,000 bond. If that can happen, I really think it should. It's a DEP violation at this point.
Right.
The only way to fix it is to fix it.
I thought we were talking about replacing them the last time.
That's what I thought, too. That's
you
why I
said replace.
You can't replace.
It's this gigantic concrete pond, you know, cement pond, as they would say on the Beverly Hillbillies. You can't take it down, so what they do is they resurface the entire thing. The last time they did that was about 1992, I think, when they had to redo everything.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they put another road in to put a plastic sewer pipe in from Tamara Drive all the way down to the sewer plant. So there's a series of sanitary sewer manholes all through the woods there. And there's a berm there, and that's these berms that they left make problems is what it comes down to. But that's the drainage thing. So the sewer plant needs to, those guys have to be done. Also the sodium aluminate tanks, where they collapsed, were repaired by the people that installed them. And that may very well be an insurance thing. I spoke with Chuck, and he said we should talk to him about it.
Oh, great.
Okay, the guy from you, Jeff.
Jeff.
The insurance.
Joint insurance fund.
Okay, and I did call a meeting of the Monmouth County engineer, Joe Ator. Had a few talks with him on the phone. He was going to come last Thursday. Steve was there, and we had Lou there also. Mike couldn't make it. He couldn't make it, but he sent the traffic engineer, Daria. And I had spoken with Ator about the manhole covers on Rochdale Avenue because we could not get them open, no way, no how. And he sent, Tom Lombardi sent his public works guys down, and they opened them. They said it was not easy, but they got them open. 3 out of 4 they opened, so that's good. You know, so now when we have to check sewers and stuff, at least we can open the, see if they're charging. You know, when the water's all backed up on one side, at least we know now. So that was why I wanted to get them here, because we had a real problem there. So the only one that showed was Daria. She is the Monmouth County traffic engineer. So while she was here, I asked her about tying into the storm drain out in front here, and I showed them your drawing about trying to drain the parking lot. And my big thing there is, can you guys do all of this? Can you dig the storm drain out, pass it up under here, put it into your 571 storm drain, and pave our parking lot for us? I'm just asking. You know, she'll get back to me on all of that. It would be very nice if they could. It looks like, you know.
She was very attentive.
She's very. She
took a lot of notes.
Copious notes, right.
Now, how much of that will come to fruition, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But okay, so there's a storm drain there. Apparently, traffic study, I just got the results. And she didn't know about the traffic study.
I ordered that because I felt that fairly soon we should be able to go out to bid for the gas station property. So any business that might be interested or any rateable, they would want to know what the flow of traffic is. So I had, you know, requested that the state come in and do a traffic study so we could actually have an idea of how many cars.
Monmouth
County.
She didn't know about it. She didn't know it.
Well, I guess one office doesn't know what the other office.
Did we pay for that?
Yes, we had to pay for that.
We might have been able to get it for free. I don't know.
Yeah, it was on the agenda a few weeks ago.
But we have copies of that.
Or mayor's.
Now, Carmela, did you get a copy of the traffic?
No.
You should have a copy because none of us can read it.
Just came in today.
Yeah, it just came in.
Yeah, we got it yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. Because I felt that anything, any rateable, any business that wants to come in or whatever, they're going to ask, like, what the, you know, what our traffic is. So
4,000 cars a day?
No, 4,000 a week. Both ways.
Both ways.
I could read that much.
2,000 each way, right.
And it's over, people go through here at over 40 miles an hour on the average. So there's 5% above 55 miles an hour and 5% below 35 or something.
Yeah.
But you'll translate
it. Do we have copies of it, or we can make copies?
I just asked Lori to make copies.
Yeah, we can make copies.
So I asked her also for older studies of the town, whether they've done traffic studies here before, how long ago.
There was one done in 2014.
Well, I want a copy of that, too. We should have all of that, you know, just so.
Yeah.
And also with the traffic, there seems to be more in the summertime, since this is a Great Adventures exit.
Yeah, and the beach. Yeah.
So we should ask them to do another one come July, August maybe, and so we have a comparison. You know?
They were supposed to do one earlier, and the weather was supposed to be terrible that day, so they postponed it because they knew that you wouldn't get an accurate picture of the day where it was pouring.
Is a bus considered two cars?
She was curious about, you really have buses coming through here? I said, you don't know, you got to be here, right?
We got them. All of a sudden, we got buses coming through.
So
but also, it's it would be interesting to be able to really break that down though and decipher it, because you have those cars, but how many are residents? Just us going to work and back, running. You know, you go to work, but then you run out again. You bring your
child somewhere. They did one side of Oscar Drive and the other side, so it's like not real local.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's a general idea, but
the point is our census has not gone up or down.
It's the same for 50 years.
No.
50 years. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's about the same as it's always been, plus or minus a percent. This is all the development in
except
all the farms that got sold and became
many mansions. Right,
Okay,
so the other thing, in general, we're talking about traffic calming here, and that's been a subject here for years now, as far as I can see. She had a couple of suggestions, and the one thing that she wanted us to do was to take down the stop sign on South Rochdale.
Yeah, well, that was a real oversight on my part. I should have known immediately that we had no right to put that up. It's a county road.
I wanted it up, but that's...
I know, and everyone said they wanted it, and I said, okay, but and I should have... I know better than that.
So what was her advice? I think, you know, she's going to look
down.
Into it.
It's down.
It's been down.
Yeah.
But the advice was maybe a caution blinker, and that goes both ways. You know, and I sent her a note today that said, if you put a caution blinker up, under the blinking light, there should be an arrow going that way that says 571 that way, and 571 east, and then coming down Clarksburg, there should be one saying 571. Because I've seen fire trucks get lost here. I've seen New Jersey electric trucks go up the hill
instead
we're
in the middle
of
nowhere.
571.
Isn't there a sign? It's a 571 sign there.
But with all this extra traffic, people don't know. I mean, there are new people driving down the street here every day, and they get lost very easily. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people come down to Mara thinking that they're still on 571. I can tell they're looking at their car, and
they make a
bewildered look on their face.
Well, then they go to the sewer plant, and they're like, where the heck am I? You know. So
last year, too, when we had a street closure from the water main break, and people were trying to go down Pine thinking they could bypass it or Homestead, but late at night, people were wandering, getting out of their cars and walking up and down my street trying to find someone who could ask. I literally drove some people out, you know, the back way.
We don't want that here.
Are you charging for the direction?
I live in the suburbs. It's okay with me.
Why don't you charge them for the direction?
Okay, so we talked about all of that. A little advice on the North Valley drainage stuff there, because it's her public works people Richie Floyd that came, so we should flag him and just say, thanks, but let's... And they do a lot of stuff for the county. That's not their specialty. That's one of the things that they do. So if we get the pipe people in, that would be good. And
that lady about the... She also mentioned, did you just tell something about that little speed sign that we have?
The radar sign?
She wasn't thrilled.
Yes, she said that anything sign-wise or anything we put up to do with the county road has got to go through that.
Yeah,
I love the Your Speed Is signs, and
she wasn't thrilled. Right?
Well, that was put up by the previous administration, but we all should know that you can't do anything on a county road without going through the application process and getting permission. That was an oversight from the previous administration. This stop sign was definitely my oversight.
I didn't hear her say take it down. But she was not happy.
I was included on a chain of emails at the end of the emails, it was all about taking them down. Carmella got one of the first ones.
Okay, so we are required to take them down?
The stop sign.
Oh, no, but not.
I said, how about the rest of the signs in town? She says that's your problem. Is that what she said?
So we can leave the radar sign up?
On 571.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said. So that has to come down also.
You should get permission from her for them to stay up.
Your speed.
Not that
she
I think
she wasn't happy with
it,
but she didn't say take them down.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right.
Okay. It's
she took a hell of a lot of notes.
We cornered her by the map over there, and she just. So it was a good meeting. It was a couple hours almost.
Good. So before we let Carmella go, is there anything that anyone would like to ask her, tell her, seek her advice, besides storm drains? Did you have any recommendations for us as far as the trickling filters, as far as...
Well, sure. The trickling filters are a serious problem that you must address because... DEP is already not happy about this, and if you lose those, you're going to lose the ability to treat the
sewer
water,
and
you will be fined, and it will just get worse as time goes on.
Yeah.
Now, the iBank, the infrastructure bank, still does have money available on the sewer side.
Oh.
They do not have the nano program, but they have the low-interest money that you could still get. So I would definitely recommend... as you move forward to do this, and you should do it as soon as possible, that we go to the infrastructure bank to get your financing.
For what? For the
trickling
bill? Yeah.
Okay.
So can we authorize Carmella to do that tonight? Or is that, does George Lang do
you'll
that?
Need George Lang.
Yeah.
To
we authorized you to look into it, and you gave us an estimate on it already.
Great.
So, yeah.
So the next step would be to have George apply?
Well, you need to get your funding
certify
in place.
The funds.
Right. Yeah. And really the sooner the better, because there is a design time to this, and there's permitting. And it may not be permitting, it's just maintenance.
How?
What's that?
No, I lost it. That's okay. Go ahead.
Well, design's going to take some time. Then you have to get the approval through the iBank. Then we advertise, we get bids. It's months and months down the road. And we really don't know how long that second trickling filter that is limping along will last.
So this is an imminent. We have to do this immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What it is the big cement pond.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle, there's a stalk like a tree. It comes up. There's a seal on the bottom and a seal on the top and some bearings. And water pushes up through the stalk of the tree, and it comes out the four arms and little jets, and it makes it go around. The seals are gone.
Easy to understand.
Yeah.
Is this pressure-driven or electric?
It's pressure-driven. Pressure-driven. And it just ain't going anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And part of the mechanism to those filters are original.
So what would they do? Take them down and repair them and put them back up?
They have to come in.
They're going
to
be the arm, the tree,
yeah.
The arms, the branches, all that will be replaced.
It's got to be
craned
out.
That's what I asked.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The tanks themselves are concrete.
Yeah.
Those will be repaired. There's an under drain of a sort at the bottom. That will be repaired. And then there's the media that the water trickles onto,
right,
which right now it's a plastic media.
Right.
But the moment you remove that to do this work, they're lost. Yeah. We're not going to be able to salvage them. And,
so we have to replace that too?
Yeah. So all of those things are noted in your explanation.
Yeah. Right. And Mike Lyons has come to me, I think, 3 times now to say, and he needs me to come to you and let you know this is
serious.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So he tried everything he could do, and they've repaired all these other things there, like by hand, not a problem. And this is one that's not a people job. This is a crane and stuff, you know. So it's really
okay.
Right.
Okay,
so. Now, if I could just take a few more minutes,
sure,
and talk about the water side, your water mains. We found out within the last week, the DEP has put out a list, a ranking of all the projects of drinking water that are in the program trying to get funded. In the past, anybody who asked got funded. There is such a demand now that there is a list of 1,000 applications asking for money through this program. You are ranked at number 427 out of 1,000. What they're saying is that the higher ranking projects now are ones that have some kind of water quality problem or contamination problem. Certainly lead is a big thing these days, and if you don't have some kind of serious problem, you're ranked lower. I think you still relatively did pretty well at 427. You're not at 900.
And in some crazy way, it's good. We have good quality water.
Right.
We have what?
Good quality water, which is why we're not eligible.
But right now, they're saying there is no money for Roosevelt. And even within the NANO program, there are other projects in front of you that will receive that money. It's not available to the borough. They see it in fiscal year 19, next year 20, whether they will be able to come back and reimburse you, you know, finance you if you move forward with this. They're talking about it, and nobody knows the answer at this point.
Well, when do they make the decision about this NANO grant? You know, because when we voted on the bond, we were under the impression that this was sort of, 99% going to happen, right? And how much is it worth, the amount of money that they were going
to
help?
Up to 50%.
Yep.
Right.
So the total cost was how much?
Right now our projection of actual design cost or construction cost, 305.
400 and something, right, I think, yeah.
So we lost half of 400?
No.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you were to go out and build these pipes all alone, no DOT grant, 406. Within your DOT project, it's 341.
Right.
Right. So you've lost 150 to 170 by not being able to be in this program. And apparently this has been bloating behind the scenes while we and you and other towns have been moving forward, expecting the program to be what it's always been.
Is this? Are you talking about
water pipes?
The water mains for Homestead and
on Homestead Lane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So
we now have a project that incorporates water pipe replacements and sewer pipe replacements within this larger DOT road replacement project.
It's resurfacing, yeah.
The plans are complete. We've sent them to the DOT, and we did just recently ask DOT for a little extra time, which we don't need anymore, right, because we thought we had to wait for the iBank to give us a response.
Right.
So at this point, once DOT responds, that they are satisfied with your plans, we'd be able to advertise.
So but that's without the not
with
doing
no
the water line.
Help.
Well, that's the decision.
Because the thing that's complicating everything now is this $500,000
trickling
thing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because that's a priority.
Absolutely.
And now that we lost the nano grant, I mean, I'm really wondering whether we should proceed with that.
Could we sit with George Lang again and ring the whole thing out? You know,
no,
if we have enough time, another 2 weeks.
But you have that time. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think we should because we don't really understand.
The question then becomes: do we want to fund the $150,000 that we lost?
Right, exactly.
That's the question.
Yeah.
And Cameron,
and it would be a
just
shame
mentioned
to close
that
this.
Your road project, the DOT just this afternoon gave you the okay
right
to advertise whenever you're ready.
That's for the NERCO or for the Homestead?
No, the Homestead.
Homestead.
The Homestead.
Homestead.
Okay. So
it would be a shame to open it up
there
and not fix it when it's open.
We
yeah
can afford it.
Well, then you'll
well, I don't know. But that's up to George can tell us whether we can afford it or not.
How long will it be before we have to do it? If we're doing it now, are we doing it to prevent a problem later on, right?
Yes.
Well, right.
Okay, so
okay
if a problem exists, how long would it be, do you think, before a problem really exists?
Okay, now, let me say this. When we had the county engineer here, we asked her also about 5-year moratorium for going into Rochdale Avenue to replace pipes and whatnot. For an emergency, she said no problem, but otherwise, you know, we'd have to wait, and then we could do that. The worst pipe in town is right here, and, you know, if we're going to do any, I think we should, we'll talk with George. I think we should really sit down and figure this whole thing out. This is a long-term thing with the water pipes and the sewer pipes, so I think, you know, we shouldn't just jump in right now, especially since we're losing a couple of $100,000 on it. Should take a harder look at it, so especially
mm-hmm
with the sewer plant going on. So, yeah.
Well, that's the kicker.
That is the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's half a buck right
now. Is the sewer plant.
I'm
going to
bring up
what
we discussed
yeah
this afternoon.
Okay.
Is there a timeline that you have to do the road, though?
Well, we did just ask DOT for a
six-month
month extension.
Mm-hmm. So you have just that 6 months that you have to make a decision.
Right.
But where we
the
are
road for Homestead
yeah
and
but where we are right now, if we decided to go ahead and repave and no pipes, we could put the bids out now?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
yeah,
need to know.
Okay.
That's a big decision.
Okay, I had a long, really interesting discussion with Greg this afternoon.
This Greg, sorry.
We have so many Gregs in this town. With Greg Cannon. And also, I think I'm remiss in that I'm not sure that you met Shad Roman.
I introduced myself earlier.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay, good. So, Greg.
I just had a discussion with the mayor about how you guys think about this infrastructure. I mean, I've been here long enough now, and I understand the culture of the town. You guys are very independent. You guys value that independence. You guys live in a beautiful place that's almost in the middle of nowhere. You know, the price of that independence is really
yeah
the utilities.
And we
and
have
let
water
let
and sewer. That's
yeah, let
nobody
Greg
has that.
Well, but it's a more esoteric point than that.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the state, the county, no one is doing you any favors as a small municipality.
Exactly.
You're 427 on the list because, I don't know if that's because, but that's part of a larger thing that you've seen, like no one's giving the small town swimmies anymore.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So like this nano program, the money's being cut from it. The reason is no one wants to keep you afloat with your water and treatment plant servicing 1,000 people. From a larger top-down perspective at the state or even a federal level,
right,
that makes no sense.
We're
so, but that is everything
mm-hmm
to you guys.
Right.
And the reason I say it's everything, it's not just water and sewer. You guys sit here, you guys don't have any police, you can pretty much get everything from everyone else. You could buy it from anywhere. You could buy the salt. There's people that plow condo complexes that have more to plow than is around here,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So you could get all that stuff everywhere else. The one thing that you cannot get and cannot move
right
is the pipes and the roads. And so this town's independence, and the mayor had a very frank conversation about it. How do you view it? You've been here a while. And my view is that's your independence. The minute that you get a bill that you can't pay for that water plant, that sewer plant, that everything else, then you're going to either ask a higher authority for help, who's going to tell you to consolidate, or you're going to be forced to build a pipe to another town to send it there, and then after that's over, they control your destiny, development-wise, cost-wise, everything-wise. And so, Rose, I know you guys are facing a really big challenge with your school. You're seeing what the state is doing to you. It's trying to, these independent small communities are not on a state or county planning level really advantageous. And so if you guys want to survive, the mayor and I had a very frank conversation about this. Those utilities are it. Well, the minute that you get a bill for those that you can't pay, this town's independence ceases to, or takes a major hit. Let's put it that way. Because in this room, you're the public trustees of essentially the stuff that can't be moved. Other than that, you can get anybody in here to buy salt, buy plows, buy anything from anybody else, fire services. But that's your lifeblood. And so the minute that that stops working, or you get a bill that's outside your bonding capacity, that's the day that Roosevelt starts being the historic village of Roosevelt within the township of Millstone. And you don't. So I was saying to the mayor, I know you guys, and it's a paradox, because your first instinct as a town that is struggling for survival is to close the vault up and hold all the money inside. And I agree with that, for everything from the paper clips to anything that you can do, making the town hall smaller in the future, whatever those austerity measures are, for you guys to maintain your independence. But I will tell you, and I'll implore you, to keep investing money in the utilities. You guys can, I know you're screaming and yelling that the utility bills are higher here than anywhere else. Of course they are, for obvious reasons that you all know about. But that's the cost of your independence. That's the cost of having your own little town with 1,000 people that basically just doesn't exist anymore, almost anywhere.
It's more.
That's it. That's the cost you're paying, because otherwise there's no reason for this borough government to exist outside of those infrastructure. You can move everything else. Literally everything else you can move except for the pipes and the roads in front of your house. And the minute you turn that stewardship over to someone else, or you can no longer take care of it yourself, is the minute that Roosevelt becomes a historic unincorporated village and no longer its own independent municipality. Because when you call the state and say, I don't have $5 million capacity to build this sewer plant, they're going to say, sure, call Millstone. They'll take your pipe across the causeway down 524. That's the answer you're going to get. No one's going to come save you. And I think you're seeing those answers at your school in some part right now. What I'm telling you is, if you want Roosevelt to be an independent community for the next 100 years, it's all about these utilities. It's the only thing that you can't move and that you're the public trustees for as an independent municipality. So, and the roads, the stuff you can't move. You can buy shovels, salt, and no offense to all the employees. You can get the employees from anywhere to do all the functions of the town, but you can't move the pipes and the roads, and that's why you exist. So the paradox is, save money, close up shop, we don't want to go out of business, but if you stop investing in that infrastructure and you get a $3 million bill one day, you don't have the bonding capacity to cover it. So you should be squirreling money away in the capital reserve accounts and these utility funds, and you need to tell your residents that, look, I know that water and sewer is expensive, but I've seen the independent spirit here. I think people will happily pay it if you explain it to them in those terms, that that's really what's keeping you as an independent municipality at this point in your history. You know, the fire department, everything is gone now that you can move, and that's all that's left. And once that's gone, that's it.
At this point, the water and sewer plants are looking pretty good.
Yeah.
The infrastructure itself, the pipes, that's another story.
But what Greg is saying is it may be time to also do the pipes, do the water mains, even though we have to do...
Look, that's up to you guys now. I'm just trying to make you think of it in different terms other than just, wow, we got to spend a lot of money or not spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
You have to think of it in terms of, that's the only physical structure left that you guys are the trustees of. And the minute that you sell it to a water company or sell it to a sewer company, it becomes a real question whether you need a municipal clerk to do the meetings or a borough attorney or anything else, because you don't have any immovable infrastructure left to take care of.
And I'm agreeing,
that's my point to you.
And I'm agreeing with you. That's why I'm saying we have to get the trickling filters fixed immediately.
Right.
And maybe not.
And I don't know if you have $400,000 right now, but if you do have it, you need to put it into stuff that's going to break, that's going to be so expensive that you got a big problem.
Right. Yeah.
Because when that problem day comes, you know, that's the future of your town, and I know how people feel about it. I've been here for over a year now. I know how people feel about it.
And I think we should look at all the pipes in town as like a big picture.
You have a really good road program going. You keep getting money every single year. You guys keep matching it to the tune of like 30% on their 70% or 40% on their 60%.
That's why we need to talk
and
to
that's
George.
The kind of mentality you need to have.
That's why
with
we
everything.
Need to talk to George, because
we
all of a sudden
there's
500,000.
The
problem, again, you know, it's hindsight, but for the many years that I live here and served on councils and all kinds of boards, no one ever suggested a five-year plan for this or a four-year plan.
Right.
As soon as somebody said we need to fix the... I remember we were having water, groundwater infiltrating into the sewer lines.
Mm-hmm.
We never fixed them.
But that's not an existential problem. When it was bad enough,
they dug up a hole, patched it up, and here we go again.
My point to you is that the world has changed in that. Now it doesn't just, you know, and I described this to the mayor. We went through a lot, but I'm not going to go through here. We talked for a long time about, used to have these communities, it was fine. We had sewage, you pumped it into the creek, and it disappeared down the road, and no one knew. But now you got, you know, 600,000 people living down that same creek, and they're complaining when the poop comes down. So you have to find a solution to that. And that regulation gets more expensive and more expensive and more expensive, and it's outpacing your ability to borrow money. That's what's happening. And Carmelo can ask you, Allentown barely can afford their sewer plant, and they have twice as many people as you do. And so their independence, they literally had a vote on their independence and explained it in these terms to their people, and they're all on board there for doing that. And I think that if you explained it to people in those terms, people would be all on board for it here, because the independence fear here is even stronger than in Allentown.
And I would agree with Greg, and what Allentown did wrong, that I hope you do not, is ignore it and ignore it and ignore it for so long.
That's what we did.
That's what we've done here forever.
We'll tell you the Allentown story. The Allentown story is they ignored it to the point where it went up to 41 milligrams per liter of ammonia going into Doctors Creek, and that triggered the DEP to fine them at $10,000 a month, and or build a new plant. And if that happens to you guys, you don't have the bonding capacity to build the plant. You're going to have to get a waiver from the DCA, or Carmelo's going to have to do God knows what, or whatever it is. So my point to you is, unless you continue to make sure that you don't have that catastrophic meltdown here, then this town could go for another 100 years if you're all willing to bear the higher utility bills to be independent. But if you ever run into that problem that Allentown did, you wouldn't have survived. Allentown would have been twice the bonding capacity.
We're at $3 million.
When your bond capacity, I believe, is somewhere in the twos, correct? Or I guess it depends for the sewer grade. But long story short,
I think if we spoke with George, he would say if we did the pipes and the sewer system and the water pipes, we'd probably be tipping the edge of.
No, I don't think so.
It's more complicated than that.
My point is, if you want to keep your destiny in your own hands, don't buy into the paradox of we have to save as much money as possible because it's going to come.
That's what I'm saying.
You need to actually maybe even raise the budget, but put it in the capital reserve fund, which means you didn't spend it, but it's there for a rainy day. You need to start thinking in those terms.
Do a long-term plan for that.
Yeah, when I said it was more complicated than that, if you raise rates enough, it increases your bonding capacity too to do the repairs that you need to do. So we may have to look at it as a whole system.
Right. The way I described it, the mayor was a pendulum. This isn't something that all of a sudden you're going to wake up and I'm going to come in here and go, oh, you guys got to decide. It's a pendulum. And so you got to keep the pendulum moving. It's going to go this way and it's going to go this way in terms of keeping, and you got to keep the system in balance so that Allentown let it go so far one way that when it came back, it smashed them. And if it smashes you guys here, you won't have the money to fix it, and you're going to have a big problem with the people who are higher up than you.
If we had ignored the DEP in 2016,
correct,
and we had the water problems and everything,
correct,
today we would be out of business.
You would have a big problem.
Right.
And you guys have actively addressed it. I think you guys understand it. But you guys have largely approached it, and the difference between me and the mayor was, you guys have largely approached it. It's just a matter of personal responsibility in these positions, fixing things that break and taking care of the town. Like, you guys are investigating holes in the ground of people's property. I'm telling you that you need to think of it in a more esoteric sense, that you need to prevent that catastrophe from happening, because it will be the end of Roosevelt's independence. There's just no question about it.
Well, the plants seem to be okay after the filters.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job.
The pipes.
Yeah. I was just encouraging the mayor, keep it up.
Yeah.
What you guys are doing is spot on, triaging, making sure you don't get to the catastrophic point.
Yeah, I think that the way we're handling it is good. We just need some long-term planning and to look at things and the life capacity of things.
Mm-hmm.
We basically know when things are going to be breaking, you know. They have a usable life, right?
There were notes about the trickling filters from four years ago.
You have to plan that out. And it's even worse than Greg's right about looking at things, you know, from a macro perspective.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if, what's the larger picture? Mm-hmm. It's even worse than Greg says, because I don't think we can pipe our waste and get water from Millstone.
$1 million
because
a mile
for
the waste.
They don't have it. Right.
That was to Monroe.
They don't. Yeah, they don't have it. We'd have to go all the way out to Monroe or something to do it. So it's
I don't know. I mean, I just know it would be catastrophic if you couldn't meet a bill at one of
those
plants.
We really don't have a choice.
And it would be maybe the end of the town.
We
never talked in those terms before. We've always talked about it in terms of responsible management.
Right.
And when this came up, when you didn't get the money, the mayor and I had a very deep conversation about how, like, what is the limit? Like, what is this pendulum? What is the balance? Mm-hmm. And I said it's the balance where you don't get the bill you can't pay. Because the day you get the bill you can't pay is the day that you have a serious concern about you guys being an independent town, which I think would mostly break everyone here who lives here. And so that's your, if there's another mission here beyond just being responsible citizens, it's that stewardship for maybe even 30 or 40 years from now. Maybe if you put away $10,000 a year at 3-4% interest in the CD, you might have a solid down payment if something really bad happened here. It's those kind of planning,
right?
But do you agree we should look into if we can possibly afford to do the water mains, as long as they are going to excavate the street?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to rely on Carmela's expertise in making sure that
I think your best use of DOT money is to use it to incorporate other things where you get a savings ultimately in having those water mains replaced at the same time.
Right.
It's one of the best ways towns can use.
Can you give an idea of how much savings by tacking on the water main replacement during a road resurfacing?
Yes, I can tell you on this project right here, to include those water mains in the road project, $340,000. If we had to do it without, you'd have trenches down all your roads, and it would be about
$406,000.
Wow. So $60,000, 20% more to do it without the road project.
Independently.
Mike, the other thing I just wanted to say.
That's what I was asking early on.
And that's the difficult pendulum that I was talking
about. If we have to rip up the road at all over again, there we go.
That estimate of $1 million a mile, that was about 4 or 5 years ago, so it's probably even more now.
Well, everybody's concern is really the bill. The bill we get every couple of months.
Sure.
You know, it's like $372 now, and I think with the bond and everything, we're looking at around 400, increasing up to around 400.
Depending on the bond.
I think everybody was relatively comfortable with that. You know, but then we lose the nano grant, and then we have a $500,000 trickling problem. Mm-hmm. What's happening with that 400? Are we going like way over 400 now, or can we talk to George and see what we can do to keep it at 4 or less?
Need to talk to George.
Yeah, we'll do some financial planning on that and meet with George and try to look at that. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
But my conversation with Greg today, once I knew we were turned down for the money, was a real eye-opener, because when it came down to the bare facts, which are eventually you'll be hit with a bill if you don't keep up, if you don't incrementally improve the infrastructure, maintain it, repair it, replace it, eventually something will break large enough where you're not going to be able to bond out, not going to be able to afford it. And when that happens, then you will cease to be Roosevelt. You will absolutely be rolled into Millstone, wherever you will be, will become the historic village of Roosevelt.
The consequences are going to be unpalatable, because anyone who comes in here from above you and you say there's a bill I can't pay, they're going to suggest the 7 different ways that it's cheaper to do it by merging or working with a municipality or whatever it is. And my point in being was, this is the governing body is a public trust, and the only asset you have left is the stuff you can't move in this town. And so selling it off, whatever. Honestly, your point is well taken. You have $400,000. What do you do with it? And so you got to figure out where that pendulum is and rely on Carmela to tell you what's going to hurt the most and what's the closest to hurting you, until you can start building that surplus back up so you have some cushion and stuff like that. But that's the way I think you guys should really think about it. It's really a question of more your independence than it is just what to do, just what pipe is leaking today. It's not a finger in the dam.
It's a bigger picture.
The bottom
picture.
Line at this point is, once the trickling filters are done, the plants are in reasonable shape, Carmela?
Oh, yes. Your water plant's beautiful, and your sewer plant is
on the
as
way.
Good as it's been
it's
in a
terrific.
Long time.
Right. So I think really what you're talking about here is replacing the pipes in town at some point.
Whatever the priority is at the moment. My point to you is
everything.
Just don't stop. You have the road program every year. If you keep going every year,
we still have to do the trickling filters, and then we'll.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, what,
it's
I mean, look, whatever you guys do, I don't
can't
have
be
any
either
idea
or.
On that.
It can't be, well, we're going to do the trickling filters,
right.
So we're not going
to
repair.
We have to do the trickling
when they're too
filters.
You've got to do both. It's how
well,
you do it.
I want you to replace the water pipes in front of my.
Yeah, but my point is, you guys have talked about all of this on a project basis every single time I've come here.
Right.
Every single time I come here, you go, well, those pipes bad on that road, or those pipes bad on that road. And that's, of course, the correct analysis to be doing.
But we should sit
but
down
my
and
point
do
to you is, it's not a matter of yes
term.
Or no. It's a matter of how much and how often.
Yeah.
And so if you have $200,000 every year, that's fine. It's whatever you can afford. But you cannot turn off the flow like they did for like a long time here. For when we came, when I walked in here, and we were dealing with the DEP. If the DEP comes in here and you're in that state where you fall into the Allentown state, it's going to be 10 G's a month, and you can't pay it, and what are you going to do? So well, that's my point to you is
you
whatever it is, I don't care where you put it, that's up to you guys. But you have to keep it, resist the urge to close it all off the whole ball.
To have a long-term capital improvement.
I'm saying let's
a long-term capital improvement plan. Yeah. We know the usable life of things. We know when bonds that are out there are almost going to be retired. And so some of the layers of financing that we have are going to come off the books sometime down the road, whether it's 8, 10 years.
I think the next one is 10 or 12
but
years.
But the thing is, you can plan over a long period of time projects and have them phased in during those times when other bonds are paid for. And hopefully, it's still there's no easy way around it. You're still going to have to raise rates. And that's problematic because some people can't afford it. Some people can't afford it. But and you're going to have to raise rates probably above what you need if you're going to generate capital, if you're going to generate money in reserve. Where's that going to come from? Well, it has to come from rates being more and building a surplus than you're actually spending. I don't know any other way to save money in that budget.
Yeah.
Right. So
but the bottom line is if we don't do that, I don't think anyone in Roosevelt would
have
be happy.
To make that decision.
My point is, you guys have only started
talking.
Can
we talk to George in between?
No,
I think we need to talk to George.
It was just an interesting point, the conversation the mayor and I had about the independence of Roosevelt, and more so, I've come here for over a year now, and you guys talk about things, and you're very responsible in terms of figuring out what the problem is and then figuring out what the solution is.
Yeah.
But my point to you is, if you can, that's a great procedure, but if you continue that procedure, one day you're going to have a problem you can't pay for it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a bigger problem. So you need to start thinking in those terms.
We almost had those problems.
Right.
And we ducked those bullets.
We did.
And now we got one more big bullet to duck at the sewer plant. And then we need to think long term.
Right.
Cha-cha-cha.
Well, no, we need to think about the water main soon if we also want to do that because there's a real time.
Can we talk to
that.
George before the next meeting?
We will have a finance committee meeting between now and the next meeting. We need to do budget planning too, so it's no problem.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about all of this and try to get his input on it, too. And Jerry's,
Michael,
too.
When was Leon?
I think there'd be a revolution if there was the thought of losing Roosevelt and becoming part of Millstone. So, anything else for Carmela?
Before you go, I just want to say give you a sense of history. Till Leon Barth became the mayor, and I think he was on for four terms. In his third term, I was on the council, and I was on the Water and Sewer Committee, whatever it was called at that time. Until that time, we were getting water that looked like this.
Every day.
I mean, brown. You put your white clothes in the washing machine, you can bet your shoes.
No, but you didn't put your white clothes
brown
in.
Because the washing machine pressures the water. The more pressure you put on, the more it turned brown. Anyway, we decided to do the water and sewer system. The water system, the plant. We did the plant. I think that we're still paying that bond. That was 200 and some.
That was in 92.
92.
The 92.
92. That was the sewer plant and the water.
In all the years that I live here, that was the first time we bonded anything of consequence. But we'd had no choice at that point. And since that time, believe it or not, to show you the value of doing these things at the right time and how to do them, we haven't had brown water at all.
Just one.
Right.
We've never, I cannot remember.
Once in a while. Not anymore, but a couple of years ago.
Not anymore, you know.
Everything's relative here in Roosevelt. That's what I've learned.
I have a fire hydrant in front of my house.
Yeah.
And you ask my cars, they know all about the fire hydrant. They now drain the fire hydrant, and I still don't get. I used to get brown water every once in a while. I don't get it anymore now.
Yeah,
like the guy sitting all around you.
Yeah.
We've been working on it. Yeah. Right. So
the point I'm making is that was the first time. Had they done it years ago on an incremental basis, it would have been talking. This wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have that bond anymore. We would have paid it off a long time.
Anything else for Carmella? Or Carmella, anything else for us?
Nothing.
Good?
No.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
For coming.
Giving up a beautiful night.
Great job, Kevin.
Good try.
I know. You're the best.
Okay, so we'll continue with committee reports. Councilmember Esikoff.
What about it?
Anything you want to?
No, I said my piece.
Okay, good.
Nice good night. Deal. Thanks for
good.
Coming.
Good night.
Councilmember Hamilton. Finance? I think we've
discussed it. There's going to be a long finance report at the next meeting, so I'm just going to waive that.
Okay. And Councilmember Roman?
Nothing from me.
We didn't expect you to be yet.
Very low expectations.
So
thanks.
Do we have to move to go back into regular order?
Yeah, I'll make a motion
yeah,
to,
make a motion. I'm sorry.
To continue the regular order of business starting with approval of minutes.
Second?
Our public comment, sorry.
Yeah, we have to.
We didn't do public comment.
Yeah, no, but we still
second.
Have to go back into.
Right.
Okay. Can I do all in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
To
aye.
Go back into
aye.
Regular order?
Yeah.
Okay, we come to public comment on agenda items only. Mike?
Yeah.
All
right.
It is
wait,
seventeen, yeah.
Okay, Michael Tixon. I'm not sure if this should come at this point or at the later public
well,
comment.
Well, don't worry. Yeah,
okay.
It's fine.
I'm probably discussing now since you were just discussing it, this whole issue of the stop sign. I don't think you were really wrong on that because if they're saying the other signs on borough streets are okay, that the 571 makes a left
that's
turn there.
That's what I thought.
Right.
That's
on,
what
I
thought.
Was
an
and
that.
How are
yeah.
they saying that it's not? And
that's
an
what I
thought.
Yeah.
It's
it interferes
because
with the county.
Daria
has
a very expansive interpretation of her
yeah,
jurisdiction.
Yeah,
it's
their intersection. Okay.
Then
what
that's
is
Paradise Hill.
What procedure? Okay, what is the procedure we have to follow to get approval to restore it then? Because the thing is, everybody. Yeah,
she's now looking. She's now looking into.
Okay.
What could be there? Maybe a stop sign. Maybe not. She's looking into it.
Well,
she might say, "Okay, we're going to put
well,
a stop sign."
I mean, we
sign.
Tried.
One of the factors, Michael, if
yes,
I may, at the meeting we found out.
Yeah.
We should find out how many accidents and how serious were they before.
Yeah.
In a period of time before we put up the stop sign.
Okay.
And that we have to get from the state police, and she says the state
that will tell you accidents.
They take a long time to get
what,
to
what you can, what we can, what we know from what the people who live there tell us is that they hear a lot of screeching. They were hearing a lot of screeching of brakes.
No, we got
there was a lot of near accidents. They may not have been accidents,
yeah.
but they were near accidents. And that once that stop sign went in, that stopped. And the Bokers told we live right next to it. Told me that Nick Murray told me that, and maybe you've heard that from other people as well.
Good.
It was certainly something that was beneficial. I mean, I can't think of any reason why it would not be beneficial. And they perhaps they should be persuaded to look at it and just look at the actual situation there. That the reality is the main road makes a left turn at that point,
mm-hmm.
and those are side streets.
Might need to be a four-way stop sign.
Yeah, actually, Michael,
well,
we
they want a four-way stop sign, make a four-way stop sign.
There's no such thing as a three-way stop.
Okay, then maybe there has to be a
four-way
stop sign.
Right.
But having that
yeah.
stop sign, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I come down that hill when I come to Trenton or I come from South Jersey.
From Paradise Hill or?
Yeah, coming down that way. And I felt a lot safer coming and stopping, letting the traffic go and proceed, letting the people see that I've stopped, letting anyone behind me see I've stopped. It seems a lot safer to have a stop sign there. And I can't
actually,
think of any
Michael,
good traffic reason why anybody should say there should not be a stop
she
sign.
Says that's not the way the rules
Michael,
work.
Yeah.
But
well,
she's looking in. She's
okay,
looking
well,
into it. She sees it's a problem. She came in on Clarksburg Road and said that's a problem.
Okay,
whatever
if you could,
it is,
if I'd
problem,
appreciate it,
yeah.
you said there was an email. If you could possibly get me a copy, I would appreciate it.
That was the one that went to Carmella that
well,
I finally got copied
I think she
on.
Needs to conceptualize that people are coming down a hill, too.
Yeah,
Paradise Hill.
Yeah, and you're building
steep
some
hill.
Speed.
Steep hill.
When you get there, and it's very ambiguous.
It's very ambiguous because it appears to be a side street.
And it's even worse now because.
Yeah, actually, Mike, that's what I was trying to say. We've heard that it's worse now.
And now it's
still
a
it's worse. It's much worse without it. I mean, I see the difference. It's really, I feel very unsafe going through that. You know, if I see nothing coming, but I don't know what to do now. If somebody's turning, should I continue going and risk a crash or just stop? And which I
stop anyway.
I'm going to stop anyway.
I see a caution blinker would be
Michael, the I think a stop sign is a lot cheaper than a caution blinker, mm-hmm. and it makes more right. sense, and there's
Michael's
no
county not, plan, not
that's
us.
Exactly the scenario you just presented. I presented to her.
Right. Yeah.
Because I come down that road and I tell her exactly mm-hmm. what you said.
Right.
I get down there, I stop.
I think it's common sense.
I stop. I don't,
what did
I don't
she
of
say?
Course. I'm not playing bumper car. Yeah.
Right. And if you don't stop, if you had someone behind you and you stopped,
you
know, cause an accident that way.
40 years ago when hardly any cars were there and you could easily
I think we have to take a strong position on that. And just that this is what's necessary. We know what's necessary. You don't need to study. It's obvious what's necessary for safety there, and let's just do it.
Let's see
what
she comes
and
back
I, and
with.
I agree.
Yeah,
I did not.
Yeah.
I did think to myself, well, it's not actually 571 there. But I guess that's the county considers it.
Well, why would they?
Yeah,
I mean, the intersection, fine, it may be, maybe within the county. I mean, there's sort of ambiguity because that corner is, it's within the borough right-of-way. It's also within the county right-of-way.
It doesn't even have a name.
Yep.
It's Paradise Hill. It doesn't even have a street name.
It's South Rushdale Avenue.
Well,
south
guess,
of it's South Rush. That area, I don't think they're claiming that that's a county road. Maybe they're claiming
that
the spot where the sign
is.
571 is them.
No, that's nonsense. Then where's the sign saying 5. So 571 diverges, and half of it goes as long as through, and the other half just disappears.
Look, we tried.
That makes no
we
sense.
Tried.
It's
so
wrong.
A nice lady.
Wrong. That's
you
nice
can write
lady,
a letter.
Daria.
I'm sorry?
You write a letter to them.
I'll
tell
write
them
a letter. So I'm saying, give me the, I'd like to see their response, and I will be
happy.
You're
going to have to fill out an Oprah.
I'll be happy
sorry.
After that, that's fine. No problem.
I know. It's easy enough to do.
We'll give you an Oprah.
Stop it and see Lori.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I sent, you've got a copy of this. Yeah.
You just fill out
an Oprah. Oh my God!
And she didn't
I was going to send it to you when I got home. Mike.
Okay, Steve. Anybody else? Steve, Jeff. All right. I close public comment on the agenda at 8:22.
Yep, 8:22.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the March 25, 2019 regular council meeting minutes.
Second.
Who was that, Mr. Trammell?
Mike
Trimmel?
And Joe.
Okay.
I get too many of those.
Give it to him.
No. Give it to Lou. Yeah.
You go to jail this time.
I didn't read the minutes this time.
Okay.
You can't read. Why
any council discussion?
I have to clean my desk.
Okay, roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Meeting minutes.
Mr. Dermody? Oh, sorry, he's absent. I'm not going to call him again. Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve the March 25, 2019 closed meeting minutes.
Second. Roll call,
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to skip through the correspondence pretty quickly since we've really discussed it at this point, but we have a letter that we received from the State of New Jersey Department of Transportation dated March 25th, 2019, telling us that Roosevelt has been selected to receive the DOT funding for the fiscal year 2019 from the Municipal Aid Program for the improvements to Farm Lane project in the amount of $240,000. Which is a lot of money, and I also, even though she left, would like to commend Carmella and Robert's Engineering, because she is basically almost solely responsible for how much money, how many grants we've been given in the last few years.
I just want to add that she's been nailing every one consecutively. Every year for a few years we've been getting them, and that wasn't the case before.
Even Greg had mentioned he never saw a town get as much, as small as we are in a few roads, how much money we get.
I've seen about 70 miles of roads in Aberdeen. This is nonsense. Congratulations.
And we also received a letter from Roberts Engineering dated March 11, 2019 regarding improvements to Nurco Road and Elm Court 2018 Municipal Aid Program. That's the letter where we need to discuss moving forward with her starting the design. Mm-hmm. And we have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated April 8, 2019 regarding the funding for the water main replacements on Homestead, Cedar, and Elm. We come to resolutions.
Is that the one that tells us that we're not going to get the money?
That's it. That's the one.
Burn that one.
Make a motion to pay the bills. Resolution 1958.
Second.
That.
Roll call.
Okay, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
I'd like to offer resolution 1959, awarding contract for maintenance of public lands in the borough to Kyle's Lawn and Landscaping.
Second.
That was Mr. Instacol?
I know that Greg Defoe, our public works worker, for lack of a better word, I know he took Kyle for a drive around town to make sure, because last year there were a lot of issues that were murky with our last landscaping company, and there were areas that were not properly cared for. So Greg, I think, gave him a pretty extensive tour of what needs to be done. So, roll call.
Okay, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Vrowman?
Yes.
Sports Affair Official. That's what
did I'm you have anything,
to.
Mike, from environmental?
Yeah. I can report that Steve Taylor has taken the lead in planting some rosebud trees on the triangle at Homestead.
He did already.
Yeah, I know, he did. Yeah, yes. I'm saying he was planting them, so. Mm-hmm. No.
Triangle on Homestead.
I hope they do better than the dogwood.
The cherry trees that we had there before, right?
Yeah, cherry.
That's interesting. The cherry trees that have survived so far, the ones that are highest up on the land. Yeah. Maybe it's something to do with the water table or something.
And they're so beautiful. It's really a shame that a lot of them didn't make it.
They were there since the 50th anniversary, so they've been there for a while. So
They've been dying for a while.
They've been dying for a while.
When
too.
They were in bloom, it was heaven.
Yeah,
Homestead or
triangle.
The Homestead one. Yeah.
Homestead.
Yeah. Homestead.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the ones approach the town is also gorgeous.
The environmental commission is sort of sponsoring new planting there.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thanks.
I said enough otherwise.
I never saw you so angry, Mike.
I know where the stop sign is if you want to.
Yes, most people in most towns, the kids steal stop signs in the middle of the night. We'll have somebody plant them there in the middle of the night.
Hey, okay. I got a couple of them in my storeroom. You want them?
New business. We have branch pickup, April 29th, 2019.
Okay, there's no old business.
There's no old business. I shouldn't assume that. Does anyone have any old business they want
to
discuss? Old business.
Business. I have. I don't know if it's old or no. I'll do it under new business, I guess.
Okay. New business. We have branch pickup, April 29th.
Yep.
And it's not on here, but bulk pickup, I believe, is May 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
We did that.
At the corner at the corner of North Valley and Oscar Drive, we got an email or a letter from someone regarding the silt that comes down from the...
Yeah.
But he amended that.
That was Oscar and 571, I think.
No.
It was right at the cemetery road, at the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it encroached way into the road.
But he amended that.
He made it a little more dramatic than it really
was.
But by the same token,
he said it was taken care of after the fact.
Our utility person has shoveled it way back.
Yeah, he said he didn't realize it had been cleared.
Yeah.
The question is, can we sort of like take the truck, the
plow?
The plow. And push it back a little bit, and then put some kind of a
barrier.
All you need is a part of a tree, the width of the and just roll it up there and leave it there. It won't roll back. It's 2 or 3. And I think it'll save us a lot of problems.
Talk to Greg about that.
Talk to Greg.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Talk to Greg Defoe.
And
and Steve.
No, Steve over here.
Did you hear me?
Yeah. No,
roll the log down the table, right.
That's done in a lot of places. I'm not reinventing the wheel, you know.
Yeah. I think there's a speed issue, too, with people going down Oscar. And
well, there's a sign that says 25 miles an hour.
There's skid marks all over the place. I don't know whether people are drag racing.
People that
or
live
or
on North Valley? Or
actually,
something?
I think it's more of a... New people move to town and just don't realize.
And Oscar or Eleanor?
Well, we have a lot of speed problems on Homestead.
Yeah. Everywhere there's speed problems.
The whole town.
Here, yeah.
Especially, I think new people move in and don't realize you have to crawl.
Well, even on Tamara, if I sit in my kitchen, I can watch cars go by. They look like they're doing 50 miles an hour.
And they are. They're doing it on, they're doing it on Lake Drive.
Yeah, and particularly in our town where everyone walks in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs and people.
They're doing
and
it on Farm Lane, I'm telling you,
yeah.
In spite of the fact that we have two speed bumps.
Well, we can I can request the state police to do more patrolling.
Verizon was out in the old parking lot from the gas station. There was two police cars, state police cars out there. I went over and started chatting with them. We're chatting, and I said, we got a problem with cars going fast. See that car? That's probably about 45 miles an hour going that way, coming out of town, 50 miles an hour. They know, but we have to.
But the real problem are the streets, are the residential
internal
streets. Yeah.
I don't know if the state's going to do that.
If they're slow, they may.
The UPS trucks are flying.
Yeah.
Boom over the speed bumps.
Yeah. Okay. Any, we come to public comment. It at
8:32.
Come on.
No, Kathleen.
Go for it. What do you got?
I'm just wondering if we can move that speed sign into more of the residential areas. If there's, instead of just sitting out here all the time, half the time.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the
But to move that and put it into some of
portable,
the residential areas.
And we have a third one we haven't put out.
Yeah.
And
we
just bring it around.
There's a third one, yeah.
Week or two, move it to
which
a different place.
Since
I'll give you permission to put it on my lawn.
Yeah. Okay, we're
public
comment.
Jeff. Mr. Klein.
Mr. K.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for your hard work, guys. Jeff Klein, 21 Homestead Lane. Thanks for your hard work on this water thing. It's interesting. Mr. Cannon, I just have a quick question for you, since you were the main spokesman for this. I understand that the word independence, that you were using that, I'm wondering if there's a way to find out, rather than an esoteric version of the word independence, is there an actual specific plan? Is there a specific, I don't know the exact word. You're saying independence, but what does that mean exactly
that
in the terms of what will happen to Roosevelt if it becomes non-independent and has to now, because it feels like at this point, just to me, who's been here a long, long time, and regardless of everybody's doing everything they possibly can, but grants are disappearing left and right in every avenue that Roosevelt seems to be taking. So it just feels like it's a matter of sticking our finger in the dike. And a borough is certainly attempting to control the closings of everything and the massive problems that are happening, but it feels like it's just a losing battle at some point.
Yeah, my point to the
mayor was question would be, what when you talk about independence, what exactly are you referring to when you say we lose our independence
as a municipal
corporation
is a going concern?
Which means exactly what?
It means that this place runs like any other business, Dairy Queen, franchisee, Retro Fitness, whatever it is. Money comes in and money goes out.
Right.
We are, in Retro Fitness and those sorts of businesses, you're constrained by regulations by the government and taxes and all that sort of stuff, and your revenue in, revenue out, whatever business you're running.
Right.
This runs exactly the same way. It's just a corporation. If there comes an obligation that cannot be paid here, we'll declare bankruptcy, and the state will come in. The DCA, the Department of Community Affairs, the Local Government Services Office, will come in here and figure out what to do. You've seen it in bigger cities.
No, that part I understand.
Controller.
Right. No,
when it comes to smaller towns, they'll just tell you
that way. No, but that's
it really means is once your municipal corporation ceases to exist, you can't have election districts.
No, but that's again.
So
I think we're missing. I'm
missing your point.
Yes, I think I didn't present it correctly. If we go to Millstone, if we have a water company come in, if the problems are able to be solved externally rather than internally, what does Roosevelt lose in that aspect as far as if we do join with Millstone?
We lose our say because we'll be a minority.
A say to what?
You lose
everything.
Your autonomy. You
to
lose
what? Exactly.
You lose
what?
Your voting rights what the government...
This municipality.
No, but we're gaining. But on the other hand, but only in certain aspects, though, not in the entire town. I mean, they don't come in and take over the town like an army comes in.
No, but
what
I'm saying
to
you is, if you get to a point where
right
you have a bill that you can't pay, let's say it's the worst, where it's Judgment Day,
right?
And you go to the state,
and you turn the utilities over, whatever it is you can't afford. Essentially, at this point, the utilities and the roads are the only physical asset you have
right.
left here in the town.
Right.
You don't have fire trucks, you don't have police cars, you don't
right.
have a ton of employees, you don't have all those other accoutrements. You basically have a public trust that takes care of the public infrastructure.
Right.
And so my point in talking about surviving these small towns and stuff like that, it's not getting easier, as you pointed out, was that the paradox is the tighter you close up the coffers, the more you invite this.
No, no, I understand.
That was the only point that I was making with Peggy earlier today was
no,
it doesn't necessarily mean open it up. It's just a pendulum. You know,
no, I understand.
That's the
balance. What happens, again, I think what happens.
If you go and do that and you turn the utilities over to someone else and everything
yes.
else, then I think the state's going to ask you the very serious question of why this board exists. Because they're basically just a pass-through for vendors for other people. The only thing you really have left here in public infrastructure, public trust, is the stuff you can't move, the actual physical stuff that is your town. You follow me?
I do.
And so if you turn
That's
the utility over
so
to New Jersey American Water
yes.
and you turn the sewer plant over to Millstone, I mean, I think there's a very, very real question that the DCA will be starting to ask you is why does this board exist?
Okay, that's
just like
enough.
They've asked you, why do you have a K-8 district?
So then, who would
right?
actually
starting
so
to ask that
where
question?
Does the running of the town then go to?
Millstone.
I mean, the most obvious answer is Millstone.
I mean, who
because
puts
the surround you,
if we have a park here? Who decides?
You could go to other town.
Millstone.
The state.
It would all be Millstone.
A state receiver or controller is going to decide.
For the utilities
that's the
itself,
answer.
Because they took over the utilities, they'll decide the schools. What happens to the school? What happens to the parks?
I don't think anytime soon the utilities are going to be taken over. To tell you the truth.
No, you guys are doing a great job of maintaining them.
I
was just.
No, I
wasn't making some huge esoteric point about how to run the town. I was having a conversation with Peggy about
right.
how to view. These are really tough questions. And so there's different ways to view them. There's the way to view them as I have to get through here because I'm moving out of the town. There's a way to view it as
I
mean, my point too is we're talking about in a 10,000 square foot view of Roosevelt.
Yeah.
If you want it to be in 100 years, if you have to take care of that physical infrastructure.
So the autonomy of Roosevelt would be run by Millstone at that point, and Roosevelt would no longer exist.
I don't know what the solution
okay.
is. I'm just telling you, if there's a state bureaucrat sent in here as a receiver to
yeah.
Roosevelt, you're not going to like anything that happens.
Okay.
And in this town, and the people that I've met here, and the way you care, everyone feels about this place, it's really not going to be likable as to what it is. It's not going to be the Princetons where they're like, oh, we can put them together. We share the same school anyway. This is going to be very, very different, I think. You're going to end up with a town that's not anything like you guys.
Versus, just in my personal opinion, versus a possibility.
Like, for example, Lake Como and Belmar almost had this problem. Lake Como could not pay for their police.
Right.
And so they had a referendum in the town as to whether to basically continue on, which would put them in default and make them insolvent, and the state would come in and tell them what to do, or to shift all police services over to Belmar.
Right.
Right? And so they shift all police services over to Belmar. That was possible. If it came to the water pipes or sewers, then is the state going to let you do that?
Right.
Or are they going to say you got to send the whole town over?
Right.
Or what's the point of having a town hall and people who just pay bills to pass through to other people?
Right.
You know, what is that? It's going to be very unpalatable
but that's
to
also
deal
versus,
with here.
I know you guys. I'm just saying, it also is versus the possibility that a catastrophic event will occur and we will not have the money.
Well, that plant works really simple.
It's default by itself.
It's worked the same way. That
so
thing works the same way for 15,000 years.
Right.
It's a pump and gravity. And so it's
okay.
just nuts and bolts. If you let the nuts and bolts fall off until it falls and smashes everything else,
right.
you got a much bigger problem than if you keep replacing them. So my point to Peggy only today was, yeah, that's a lot of money. You got to really think hard about that. But I want to make the point to you that you know, the reaction to save the town, if you close all the coffers up and don't take care of that infrastructure, that's going to hasten your demise much faster than running out of money or having too high utility bills or people moving out or anything like that. It's going to be sudden, catastrophic, and you're not going to see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my point, is a way to think about it, that it's also your sovereignty. Why do you guys tolerate $400 water bills?
Because we love it here.
Because it's your independence. It's your independence bill. That's what it is.
I think.
You know?
Yeah.
If I had $4 utility bills in my town, I wouldn't be able to get it like a dog catcher.
Yeah.
But here, that flies. Why? Because you know that's your independence. That if the world ends, you guys are all right.
Well,
yeah.
and it's part of
important.
The design of the town. The design was built and planned so that we were autonomous and independent.
Right.
Right.
We have our own sewer treatment plant, our own little school.
Your own cemetery, which is not usual.
I think that was part of the idea of building this town that could be, you know, independent.
It was the whole point.
I don't want to speak for Greg, but I think also New Jersey State has 400 or 640 municipalities.
565.
I'm sorry, 565. And the state is really trying to squeeze some, especially the smaller ones, to start working with the other ones. And my concept there is shared services. That's why I wanted to talk to the county. We got a pretty rich county here. If they can work with us, that would work. But the state is trying to consolidate. Then property taxes might level off and things like that. So this is, I'm sure, this is going to be what state officials are going to be looking for as time goes by. So we want to hold our own, but we want to be independent, and we want to work with the rest of the state also. If,
by the way,
if we can, yeah.
We did some surveys on that, and we would be taken over by somebody, especially the school. Mm-hmm. Your tax structure could be worse.
Could be better.
Could essentially be worse.
Could be better if the school wasn't here.
No. Not if the school wasn't here, but if we have to share with other people.
That's kind of the unpalatable stuff I'm talking about. If you can't pay one bill and you end up with a bigger bill over time, that could very well happen.
We've done surveys on this, and we could end up a hell of a lot worse financially and have less services and less. And lose our autonomy completely.
My point to Peggy today with this nano program, and I know what you're going through with your school, was that the world's changing around you. And so if you really want to keep your 1,000-person town, you have to think of in bigger picture than just holes in pipes. You got to think about what is your independence, and it's the physical infrastructure. And so maybe it's worth more to you here than, you ask me and Carmel all the time, to make value judgments. And that was also the really source of how I started our conversation. So what do you think? And I said, I can make a value judgment as a guy who lives in Aberdeen, but I know for a fact that, Roosevelt, people feel a lot more strongly about that sort of stuff than they do where I live. So it's really your value judgment and the perspective. And we got this whole conversation about a different perspective, the way to look at it. It's not just your furnace at your house that you can replace. This thing, if it breaks and you can't fix it, it might be the whole town. And so you guys are stewards in that regard, not just of pipes and pumps and stuff like that.
And we treasure our town. We treasure
our particularly
town.
Here. Yeah. And that's why what's prompted the conversation. So I didn't have any magical answer for you. I just wanted to provide a different perspective to you as to what the existential threat to the town is, more so than just running out of tax money if you're moving out.
Right.
It's that if you get a bill you can't pay, you're going
to
have a problem.
Well, and I used to, what's
the bottom line here?
The way I always looked at it was, yes, we pay really high water bills. We don't even get a lot for our money here. We don't have a lot of services. But you know what? It's all a trade-off because we live somewhere that's absolutely beautiful, that has no crime.
Well,
people look out. Even people who don't get along politically, whatever, people look out for you here.
I also
want
to add
that
we made a trade-off when we decided to preserve all of that
land
from development,
right.
And that we would have had a lot more people splitting up the bill. Okay, but there was a value judgment that we really appreciated the design of this town. We wanted to keep it intact. Mm-hmm. We wanted to keep that farmland that was part of our design as farmland to the extent that we could, and that the courts would let us.
This is still a little utopia here.
So one way of looking at things is that the bills that we're getting for infrastructure repair are no different than what any other town is getting.
Right.
However, we're really small.
Right.
We're dividing
exactly
it up for a much smaller amount of people. Even Allentown is twice the number. Twice the number.
Your margin for error is so slim.
Yeah.
That was the point that I was making to the mayor. Was that your margin for error is slim, and so you guys got to think about that and be vigilant about it. If this is I know what you guys like.
Right, because of our small size, even when we have a water main, break, it's like ouch. We got to watch it. It really impacts that really small utility budget.
Although, because our municipal budget's in great shape.
Yeah,
which would obviously go into the surrounding areas, into the green belt. You're saying that would eventually be, that would fade away as we're taking over.
Say it again.
There's a good possibility that the green belt and everything that we decide here would start.
Mike's point was you guys already made that value judgment, that you could have easily brought 1,000 more people in here to help you pay the sewer bills.
Right.
And you guys made a choice as a community not to
do that.
Oh, look at
and that was exactly what prompted my conversation with Mayor Renee. I know the decisions you guys have made. I see the utility bills you pay for. That's the price of your independence, in essence. Mm-hmm. And so it's more than just pipes and roads. It's really stewarding the public trust.
We fought two huge developers off.
Right.
In the,
right.
Yeah.
We what?
We fought two huge developers off, U.S. Homes and M&M.
And so as you watch the school aid disappear and the nano program disappear, it comes down to, you know, you have to make really intelligent decisions, and you have to think about them a lot more than just, is this going to create better water quality here or there? Because it's really the physical plant of what this body is the public trust of, which is the independence of the town, more or less.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had one more question for Joe. You said that the traffic was
engineer
5% under 25, 40 and over, and then over 25 was 5%. Do you need me to go faster?
Yeah.
Even out the percentages.
Go over the bumps, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Or anything.
Go around the block on Oscar.
At 55, would that make it?
Just for a little bit.
Just for a little bit, short period of time.
Just gun it. You're going to get 55.
Exactly. All right, thank you, guys.
You know, when you talk to people that don't know the town, where you live, you describe the whole thing.
We live in heaven.
We have a school with 13 kids in the class.
Yeah.
A K through
8. How about the cemetery? Free plot in the cemetery.
Yeah. That's right.
We have heaven here.
K through 8. I said we have our own water and sewer system, and the water's really tastes pretty good.
Yeah. Tastes good.
They tell me that you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're an anomaly. Yeah.
You can drink it straight. It's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're an anomaly.
Mike,
property values would go up.
Sorry, I thought we were out. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
Just as Greg was saying.
Just identify yourself.
Yep, sorry.
Identify yourself.
Michael Tickton. Okay. As Greg was saying, the issue would be if we ever defaulted on something, the local finance board would come in and manage the town until that default issue was resolved. Right. Millstone would not really be involved unless they wanted to, and we wanted to consolidate, because that's consolidation is still voluntary. Now, one thing that you do see legislation on, you know, as our friend Senator Gopal has a bill in that would say municipalities below a certain population level have to consolidate. So, you know, something like that may get some traction. I don't see anything happening at
this
point.
Senate now?
That may happen at some point. What?
That's in the Senate now?
Well, it's a bill.
Thousands of bills are introduced. Just because a bill is
introduced, but being co-sponsored and people.
Well, he has a bill in. I don't know if anyone's co-sponsored it, but that, you know, whatever
it is.
Who
has the bill?
Bill's Gopal. He has a bill in that would, who's generally very, you know, likes Roosevelt and everything. He still has a bill in that says that he set a threshold below which municipalities have to consolidate.
Yeah.
There's nothing now that says. I mean, now you have municipalities that are a lot smaller than Roosevelt. There's an article in the Trenton Times today about Pine Valley with a population of 18.
In Tabernacle.
Which is
Tabernacle.
No, Tavistock has even fewer. They're both golf courses.
Yeah.
But these are places that are golf courses. Of course, they have a great deal. They're very rich towns.
They have an airport.
There's all sorts of weird municipalities in the state.
It's not Mar-a-Lago.
I'm sorry?
It's not Mar-a-Lago.
No, not Mar-a-Lago. No, this is nicer than Augusta.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They really want to try to.
There's certainly
property tax.
There has
issue,
been pressure for doing that. But this was something when I started the state in 1960s. They were talking about this. The progress has been they've gone from 567 to 565.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was because Pond Quarry ran out of people, and then the people in Princeton finally realized it was silly having two Princetons when they had most of their activities consolidated already. And they finally get the people in the borough to vote to consolidate.
Yeah.
So that was the only real consolidation that ever occurred.
Yeah.
So
that was a very logical consolidation.
Yeah, well, it's logical, but logic is never
El Barón, Lock Arbor,
okay,
little towns like that. Yeah,
let's go. Yeah,
we still have a closed session.
Yeah, right.
Out.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay.
Hey, Steve. Anything? Okay. Close the
8:49.
Close the public agenda. Public comment at 8:49. Where am I?
Okay, so I need a motion to go into.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Trammell. Okay, so now I need to read the resolution. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions therein wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said act. Now therefore be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter, A, potential litigation, Hilltop Swim Club, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. I need to do a roll call to adopt this resolution. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Roman?
Yes.
So, we are going to
pause.
Pause, and we are in exec at, sorry.
8:51.